passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me this week is not Dylan White. Dylan is off this week. He's taking a sick day. I mean, and for all the work that he's done and all of his winnings and everything else, he should probably celebrate. Take a week or two off. He'll be back next week where we'll be talking some fantasy FYPD rankings that we put out last week. So if you have any questions on that, we're going to ask you to maybe send us some questions to my email. That's jeff.ponce@baseballamerica.com. That's jeff.ponce. Any questions you have on the FYPD, we will answer them next week on the podcast. But this week, I have a guest. That is Chris Clegg of the Dynasty Dugout. You might know Chris from Twitter, Roto Clegg. You might know him from his work previously with Eric Cross, but he's been doing great stuff over at the Dynasty Dugout. I think it's one of the top fantasy sites that's out there right now. You know, Patreons or technically a Substack. But I think you do great work and you get out to games. You've done some work with Sox prospects as well. A bunch of different podcasts and different things you're doing out there. But a consistent content creator, Chris Clegg. That was alliteration for you.
Love it. Not Dylan White here, but I am excited to join you. Dylan, we're hoping you're feeling better. And I'm glad when Jeff texts me, he's like, hey, you want to hop on the pod today? I was like, sure, let me figure out time and let's do this thing. So we're going to talk some Arizona Fall League. I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, be out there in a week. It's wild. It's time to head out to Arizona. I'm pumped for it. I did hear a rumor that Tiedemann and Jove might be done, so that kind of pains me that if it's true, then I'd be very sad not to see them because neither of their teams are in my area at all. So, and they'll probably be in the majors pretty quick next year. So this is my chance to see them, but I'm just hoping that rumor is not true. But thanks for having me, Jeff.
I'll have to double check on that. That would be interesting. Because you'll be there and the AFL, the Fall Stars game is a week from Saturday.
It's on Sunday this year. They bumped it again because of the potential Game 7 of the World Series. They actually thought ahead this time. Well, yes. Not really. The original schedule had Fall Stars on Saturday.
That's right.
And then they're like, oh, crap, we did this again, but we're not going to wait till the last minute. So they went ahead and moved it to Sunday about a month.
Yeah, because there was nothing on Sunday anyway. So
I changed my flight and got another day at the hotel. And so last year it messed me up and I couldn't stay for Fall Stars because it was so late.
Right.
Yeah, and so that sucked. But this year, it's happening. So I'll be there through Monday this year.
But either way, it's funny because, like, they could get an inning out of Tiedemann and Jobe, like, in the Fall Stars game and then go home. Right. I mean, obviously, it's what the plan is for the team, and I shouldn't be speaking that way. But at the same time, like, come on. Like,
yeah,
an inning, you know? But that being said, what are your thoughts? We'll just start off here. We're going to talk AFL, as you said. What are your thoughts on Tiedemann? Because he has been going 70-plus pitches. He's been going 5-plus innings. The performances have been fairly dominant. I think he leads the league in strikeouts. I said it to somebody today, but if this is the case and he's remains healthy going into spring training and does this throughout spring, I'd be shocked if he's not in the rotation, like beginning of the season, like opening day. There's only so many bullets there. And I think if he hadn't been hurt, probably would have been up in Toronto and made a few starts by the end of the summer.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we had mentioned that. I think he pitched Friday. We were kind of texting back and forth about it a little bit. And I think the Blue Jays are cringing hard every time he's pitching five innings because they haven't let him go. Dude, he didn't pitch above four innings since last, like the early July, like 2022, which is absurd. And like you said, he's thrown consistent innings, consistent pitches, which is good. I think that this is something that I wanted to see beyond the performance just to prove health. Like, we need to see him throw innings to be able to pitch deep enough in two starts because this has been the issue all year. And we know that he's battled injuries. So obviously the Blue Jays have kind of had the reins on a bit, but you love seeing him being taken off a bit in the fall league. Obviously, like, this is a hitter's league and he's dominated. He's pitched 18 innings. That leads all AFL pitchers. You mentioned the strikeouts, 23 Ks. That leads all pitchers as well. He's had a little bit of a command issue. We've seen the walks, which, okay, like, that's fine. Like, I just want to see innings. And I've watched every start possible that he's pitched so far. And I'm interested to see, like, I'd love to see him live if he's still out there. But the interesting thing to me is, like, he struggled to command the off speeds at time, but they're so good, it doesn't matter. Like, the sweeper is incredible, so he's getting swings and misses on it. He's throwing it to lefties and righties. The changeup's devastating. And the fastball is really good. The fastball command, I think, has been the best of any of his pitches. But even though he struggled to command the off speed at times, like I said, it's still working. It's still getting swings and misses. But the biggest thing for me is just seeing him pitch innings, going deep into starts. And even 75 pitches, while may not be the deepest in the world, like, he's getting five innings, which is awesome. So build up in the offseason, get him in spring training. And like you said, I think he could break camp with his team. Why not? Don't waste the bullets in the minors. He's had a shaky track record of health. Get him on the mound in Toronto and let him go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. There's no reason to sort of waste any more bullets, especially if he's capable of going 70, 80 pitches, if you can build him up to 90 or 100. And you don't have to do that right away, by the way. You know, if he's going four or five innings in April and May, that's fine. And I guess, like, to an extent, I could see them being more conservative and maybe having him in Buffalo for a month or two. But just the way things can get off track so quickly, I just feel like I wouldn't want to waste those bullets. Just with the quality of the stuff that's there. As you mentioned, the fastball, there's velocity there. It's a really interesting release, just in terms of, like, how he hides the ball, how low it is. You know, he doesn't have crazy extension or anything like that. But he's got a really strong sort of leg block in terms of, like, how he lands. And he's just able to kind of, like, everything comes out, like, so low and so fast, that it's hard to necessarily pick up what pitch it is until it's, like, 10 feet from the plate, you know? And that's when it sort of, like, deviates and it's like, oh, that's the changeup. Oh, that's the fastball. Oh, that's the sweeper. Right. And you brought up a good point. It's something I've written about a bit over the years. But one of the things that always impresses me the most is when he's facing off-handed batters, right-handed batters, how he just wears out the outer half of the plate. And that also leads to my next point with the command. It's there. It wasn't a struggle when he came back. The thing is, now that I'm seeing versus what I saw in the summer when he returned, and I saw, you know, whatever, three starts, one in A, low A, and then a few in double A, is the misses aren't in zone. There were a lot of fastball misses in zone. He's commanding the fastball a lot better. And the slider, he's not hanging at all. When he misses, it's technically, or, like, typically is on the outside. You know, he's not missing, like, over the heart of the plate all that frequently. And they're all pitches that get pretty good, you know, swings and misses in zone as well, which is, I think, what separates guys like Tiedemann in terms of quality of stuff from a lot of guys. We look at strikeout numbers, we look at whiff numbers on pitches. Whiff numbers on pitches in zone is such an absolute advantage to have if you're a guy that can do that. And I think the big thing with Tiedemann is, like you said, it's the innings. If we can get these consistent 5+ inning runs, that tracks pretty well. So if this is the end of it, then I think he had a successful fall league and puts a nice cherry on top of a really disappointing season. Not even necessarily from a performance standpoint, as much as I think everybody anticipated this was going to be a guy that was going to push his way into the, you know, top, whatever, 10, 15 prospects in the minors conversation, potentially, you know, get involved in a playoff race and be part of this, this Blue Jays, you know, whether it was a rotation or as like a long guy out of the bullpen, I think there was an opportunity for him to, you know, potentially have some value there. Outside of Tiedemann, is there a player, Chris, that you're most excited to see? Because I'm going to admit, I am not going to AFL, unfortunately, this year. I know you're going to be in attendance at FPAS next week. That is First Pitch Arizona. That's put on by Baseball HQ. It's one of the best events out there. If you could still get buy tickets and have nothing going on next weekend, I would encourage you to go out there, buy tickets, fly out there, and enjoy FPAS, because it's absolutely one of the best events that's out there, and I think one of the most fun like periods of the baseball calendar. But you're going to be out there, Chris. I don't know if you're doing any panels, anything like that, but certainly mention those. But what player are you looking forward to seeing the most that you haven't seen outside of Ricky Tiedemann or Jackson Job?
Yeah, for sure. So we'll be out there. I'm going out Tuesday, so I'll catch some AFL action before the conference starts, which is obviously a big part of the conference is awesome. Like it's one, like that whole week is my favorite week of the year. I live for the week in Arizona. Seriously, it's that awesome. So if you're listening, you've never gone and you can catch a flight last minute, totally go. It's worth it. But yeah, I'll be on, we're doing a prospect panel on, we did a prospect only draft for 2024, like we did last year. So we're doing that again. We just drafted only rookie eligible players that will be like basically a redraft league for next year. So we'll be on that panel. I'm doing a live podcast as well. So looking forward to that and possibly some other stuff. Not sure. We're still chatting with Brent, kind of seeing where need to fill in. But yeah, players I'm looking forward to seeing. I will say I've seen Kyle Manzardo several times. I've seen him in high A. Also, I've seen him in triple A this year before he was traded to Cleveland. And Manzardo had some extenuating off-the-field circumstances that I think affected his performance. And my looks of him this year were certainly not the looks that I got last year. And so I'm, even though I've watched the film, like you look at the numbers and he's performed well, like I honestly just want to chat with him a little bit and just watch and see, like, is there anything different or is he just getting back to who he was? So Manzardo is obviously one that I've seen a lot that I am looking forward to seeing again. Someone that I haven't seen though is Graham Pauly. And that's a fun name if you followed along with me and Jeff for several reasons where, the Pauly and Mydroth debate happened in like May and, you know, it kind of got people riled up, but you know, Pauly had an incredible year. I think he finished with 23 homers and 24 stolen bases, like 300 average, close to 300 average between several levels. He went up to double A at the end of the year and Pauly started out the fall league very hot and has kind of skidded a bit, but overall, like I'm looking forward to seeing Graham Pauly out there, San Diego Padres prospect who I've obviously loved all this year. Jacob Marcy's one too, where, you know, the performance, he's been incredible, just like completely just hitting the mess out of the ball. He has, I think, the third most hits in the fall league. He's tapered off a bit, but, you know, the EV is just not quite there, but yet he's still hit two home runs so far. We know it's a hitter's environment. Marcy makes a lot of contact. And so I'm looking forward to seeing him. And probably the last one I'm looking forward to seeing most is Eric Brown Jr., who I did see some in college. He's local here, Coastal Carolina in South Carolina. So saw him a bit in college, but he's really struggled a bit. I know he's had some injuries, but his performance has not lived up to the first round billing, but he's had an awesome fall league so far. No home runs yet, but he's hitting .333, has a .433 OBP with five doubles, a triple, and is still in a bunch of bags too. So he's towards the top of the league lead in stolen bases. And Brown has juice. Like, you know, he put some pretty eye-popping EVs up. Like, his college EVs were incredible. And the contact skills, I think, are there too. I just looking forward to seeing, like, that again in person. It's a kind of funky mechanics. Like, you know, it's, you see some weird things in his swing, but he makes it work. So I'm excited to watch him again in the fall league.
Yeah, I agree. And I see that my guy Chase DeLauder has really fallen off a table since starting incredibly hot with Peoria, and has not been hitting, still walking more than he's striking out, but he's just not doing much damage, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, he was so hot. Like I thought that after the first week, he was going to be the fall league MVP. And at this point, I think it's up for grabs completely. Like we're halfway through. Like I think it's anybody's game at this point, but I really thought DeLauder might run away with it and really like vault his stock to be like a consensus, like top 20 prospect everywhere. I really thought that was going to happen, and it still can, like, yeah, you know, sure. You never know.
Yeah. But it's been a quiet couple of weeks, you know? So kind of interesting, how that goes.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here, I wanted to ask you sort of a more general question. And this is something that I think anybody who evaluates prospects and writes about prospects generally struggles with this question. How much do you weigh AFL performance?
Yeah, and that's a tough question. And honestly, like, it's tough until you actually go out there and see it. And it's a completely different ball game. I remember my first year going, didn't go 2020, obviously COVID. Didn't happen. My first year was 2021 out there. And I just remember being shocked by several factors. And one being like the pitching was so, so bad. There were multiple games that week where there were 25 walks in one game. There was even a start where the game ended early in the seventh inning because Mesa ran out of pitchers. Like it was that wild. Yes. Like that actually happened. And so like, I was just so caught off guard by the pitching. And this year, obviously, you know, you have your top guys like in Tiedemann and Jobe, but pretty much across the board, the pitching's pretty subpar. So it's hard to put stock on like a hitter's performance in that sense, because like most of the minor league ball I'm watching is single A and high A. And that's pretty much what I'm seeing too here is like bad pitching. So like, the miss, like you mentioned about the misses of like Tiedemann and stuff, but like his misses are good misses. the misses for a lot of these pitchers are meatballs over the middle. So they're leaving these hanging breaking balls. They're leaving a 92 mile an hour fastball over the heart of the plate, and it's getting hammered. And when you're in the Arizona environment, those balls are going to fly. I mean, you look at the exit velocity select distance, like on the StatCast games, and the ball certainly travels more out there in Arizona than it does most places. And so it's hard to actually put stock on that, because also players are going out there working on things. And I think that's hard to quantify, that some players are seriously there just to work on something. Maybe it's a new pitch. Maybe it's refinement on something as far as like in their stance and their swing, like they're working on adjustments. So it's hard to put like a quantifying factor on this, because one, if you're familiar with what the players out there working on, then obviously it gives it more perspective. But some things we just don't know, like there's specific instructions that players have when they're out there in a lot of cases. And so knowing those things obviously helps. But at the same time, I think that taking a lot of performance with a grain of salt is good. But at the same time, like looking for things that are tangible, like Ricky Tiedemann just throwing pitches, like that's huge. Like outside of his performance, the fact that he's throwing five innings and 75 pitches matters a ton. If we're seeing consistent contact from some hitters, like Ivan Melendez is somebody that obviously we know he's got big power, but I want to see him make consistent contact. And so this is an environment where he should go out and hit. But the fact that he's not hitting is kind of still concerning for me. And so thinking about those things, like there are certain expectations on some players, I think, that I'm looking for, but not everybody. I know that's hard to say. It's like kind of an individual thing. And I hope that makes sense, but knowing the environment, knowing what players are up against, and knowing kind of the setting of the league is important, I'd say.
Yeah, and I don't get too caught up in the numbers, because there's been very good players that have had bad fall leagues and very mediocre players who have had great fall leagues. So, you know, I think taking anything away from a lot of that is kind of tough. But like you said, I think there are tangible things. Guys start to work on things. They show a pitch or improvement in a certain area that they didn't have before that was essential. And I think like one of the other things that always sort of sticks with me, like with the fall league, is just how much the ball travels to. So some of those power numbers can be a little deceiving in terms of what the long-term power is, depending on the park or the pitcher that they're facing, et cetera, the time of day and just how the ball travels out there, as I mentioned. But, you know, the other thing that I think the biggest thing that I always take away from it when I go out there is just the eye test on six teams worth of players. And if you're there for a full week, you get to see all the teams to hopefully three times. You're going to get to see everybody. You're going to see everybody work out. Then you get the Fall Stars game or whatever. But, you know, that's gotten me more familiar with players that are on, like, the West Coast, Texas League, teams that I'm not going to see. So, like, Lawrence Butler was great to see, because I hadn't seen Lawrence Butler since he was in Vermont in short season in 2019. And the player that I saw in AFL was much different from the guy that, you know, I had seen previously. The athleticism was better. It was like, all right, this guy moves. I think he's much more explosive as an athlete. Maybe he could play a corner outfield spot. This isn't just a first baseman any longer. And that was one of the reasons I was really high on him coming into the season. I can remember like one of the first things Dylan said to me when we first started working together on like our first top 100 ranking is I had Lawrence Butler at the back end of mine. And he was like, why is Lawrence Butler in the back end of your top 100? And so because of AFL, I had got a good look on him and, you know, felt pretty comfortable. I also think it can be a great opportunity for guys like Pauly and Marseille, who maybe don't get as much press, and just to get some eyes on them and get some opportunities. And not even necessarily with the Padres, but also like with teams in the next year or two. Teams are more familiar with them, guys that they've seen a lot. They might have more track record and history on, higher level cross checker, stuff like that. So I think there's value there. And the final thing that I really like about the AFL is the amount of Rule 5 eligible guys for the next year that you'll get to see. So there's a lot of guys there that may end up on major league rosters or going really high in the Rule 5 simply because of how they perform in the AFL. I can remember last year I went to see Carson Wisenhunt. You were at the start. That award came in. That award looked awesome. He looked better than Wisenhunt. Yep. And it was the kind of thing where immediately afterward, it was buzzing when I was talking to scouts. We were like, Ward looked really good in the fall league. And I was like, yeah, I really liked it. You know, it's four pitches, changing speeds, changing eye levels, you know, a couple different shapes in the fastball. And it was like, yeah, he's Rule 5 eligible. He's not protected. This is a guy that, you know, I think could go really high in the Rule 5. He ends up going 1-1.
First overall, yeah.
It ends up sticking with the Nationals as well. But yeah, so I think like you do see a lot of, and there's a bunch of other names. I'm just not going to rattle them all off. You'll see a lot of players that could end up in the majors next year that aren't the stars, that aren't the big prospects that you could still be familiar with simply because. I might be wrong here. Was Blake Sobel in the fall league last year?
Yeah, he was. I remember because there was a game early in the week where he and Henry Davis were in the lineup together.
Yes.
And I was like, dang, this kid looks better than Henry Davis does. Like, this is wild. Yeah. So yeah, he was out there. I mean, yeah, like
Rule 5 guy, yeah.
Exactly. Mason Miller, who I know he wasn't a Rule 5 guy, but Mason Miller had minimal buzz coming in. He's coming out there throwing 100, like straight gas. So
I was like way in after I saw him. It was the first night that I was there, or second night that I was there, and it was, I think, me, Chris Blessing, and then my buddy Jason Panini, who used to work for the Twins. And we were all there like watching Miller, and it was like, okay, like
he's legit.
He's sitting 100 miles an hour. He's the only guy that's ever hit 102 in my gun in 4 years. I've gotten a few 101s. He's the only 102. So, and I was like, that's legit, because my gun's usually soft in comparison to the radars at stadiums and Trackman. So that's a legit 102. Who knows? Maybe it was a Trackman 103. I'm not sure. That's interesting, though. I think we brought up some good points, and just sort of to be a little bit leery of fall league breakouts entirely, you know. Yeah. I wouldn't be running out and going and adding Liam Hicks in all of my in all of my fantasy leagues unless there's AFL scoring. If somehow there's like a playoffs after the playoffs that's just entirely comprised of prospect scoring at the AFL level, then yeah, he would have been a great pick. But I think it is also good to maybe get guys on your radar in really, really deep leagues. Like, I play in some of these 30-team leagues. I've been in 30-team leagues before where there was no limitation on the number of prospects that could be rostered. So you could have a farm system with 120 players and, you know, knowing some of these players that were in AFL that might get into the big leagues in the next couple of years that could, you know, maybe be free, even relievers and guys like that, there was some value there. So, you know, I think that's maybe the big takeaway for me for AFL.
Yeah, just go back and look at like the last several years of like the top performers.
Yeah.
And that gives you a decent idea of what you need to know. I mean, like Nelson Velasquez was MVP, I'm almost certain, in 2021. He hit 9 home runs. Like Cameron Meisner hit 7 that year. He had the second most. Like Juan Yepez, like Ivan Johnson. Like, you just look at like the category leaders like year over year. And it's like, okay, like, yeah, some of these guys obviously panned out and became something. But at the same time, like 2019, it was like Greg Dykeman, like 9 home runs. Like, what? All these. So I think it just shows, like, yes, there's useful things to take away. But I think you also have to be leery just like looking at the box scores, seeing it, watching. They stream a lot of games now, which is great. But also being there, seeing it is huge.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the power numbers. Like, I really don't buy into, you know, a lot of the power performances from a home run standpoint. When you can get EVs and things like that, and we didn't have access to it a few years ago, that was obviously really valuable. But I think, I guess my biggest takeaway is guys that show all around skills and kind of round out the profile from the things I've already seen on TV or read about in my spreadsheets and statistics and things like that, is seeing the player on the field. The get off the bus tests, as they say, you know, what do they look like? What's the physicality like? What's the BP like? You know, you get a lot of BPs. And I think my favorite part of it is all the food I get to eat and all the people that I get to hang out with. That's by far my favorite part of the AFL. And that's whether I'm there for FBAS or I'm not there for FBAS, I've done both. I have a lot of scout friends and people with teams that I get to catch up with or other writers. So, it's always a lot of fun. It's a great experience in general. Let me ask you last question here. I don't want to keep you too long. Biggest shock performer so far for you in this AFL, Who has it been? I think mine is probably Liam Hicks, because I got to be honest, I didn't really know much about Liam Hicks prior to coming into this. And that always impresses me, because I tend to pride myself on knowing most of the players in affiliated baseball one way or the other, whether it's the Cape or the draft or just from watching minor league games, you know, all day long for 3 years of my life.
Yeah, Hicks is certainly, I would say, at the top of the list. Like, I've heard the name, but I knew nothing about him coming in. It's like, okay, like, I was looking over the rosters when they released, like, sure, like, it's Liam Hicks. Like, you know, there's not much to see here, I thought, but he's done some pretty impressive things and obviously just been a hits machine. And a lot of them have been against decent pitchers too. Like, he's going up against some of the Jobes and the Tiedemans and performed well. I mean, he's tied for the league in hits with Jace Bowen, who's also been awesome. But Hicks is 500 average, a 574 OBP, only four extra base hits, four doubles, and the rest singles. So 19 singles, but he's walked more than he struck out. I know he's older. He's like 24. So, like, obviously, like, you look at that and it's like, but like, at the end of the day, like, Hicks has been incredible. And like, the StatCast data in Salt River has been pretty good on him as well. Like, his average EV is 94 miles an hour over there, which is pretty substantial. Like, he certainly didn't do that in the regular season. I know it's a small sample, so I'm hesitant to put any stock at all in a small sample. Like, we're talking 10 batted balls, but still, you like to see things like that, and that's encouraging. So I would say that Liam Hicks certainly is towards the top of the list, but I'll tell you, there's another one who's really impressed me in the Phillies organization, and that's Gabriel Rincones Jr., who had a pretty solid regular season. I didn't realize what a good regular season he had until I kind of dug in a little more, like, as he was performing in the AFL. Like, I think he hit 15 homers and stole 29 bags in the minors this year.
Yeah.
And he's been pretty impressive as well in the AFL. He's hitting 327. He's got a 426 OBP. He's got two home runs, a triple, five doubles, eight stolen bases. So, like, just across the board, like, it's pretty good. It's almost a one-to-one walk to strikeout ratio. And so for me, like, he's one of the ones that I'm excited to see, because I don't get a lot of looks at the Phillies. Their high A jersey, sure, will occasionally play Greenville, but like, this year they played up there, so like, I didn't get to see any of that group. And then you got, like, they're down there in the Florida State League. So yeah, I don't get a lot of looks at the Phillies guys. And so, like, he's one that I'm like, okay, like, is there something more here? And I want to see that, and I'm excited to see him.
Yeah, and he's kind of like a, like you said, a tooled up guy from the sense that, like, you know, he fills up the stat sheet. So he's an interesting player, right? Like, and somebody, like you said, that kind of, I feel like with those Philly guys, they get a tough run in A-ball. Just playing the Florida State League, we know, you know, how difficult that is sort of on the typical slash line and home run counting stats sort of numbers I think a lot of people look at. So it's always important to kind of look at those markers like WRC plus and stuff at a level basis, just to get an idea of like how the performance rates against the rest of the league. I can remember years ago that people kind of like crushed Jonathan India for his time in the Florida State League. And it was like a 130 WRC plus. It was like, that wasn't a bad performance. Like, he was 30% better than the average player in low A, whatever, it's fine, or high A, like, whatever. You know, it's sort of the same thing here where we get guys like Rincones, and I think that maybe like the baseball card stats don't necessarily tell the full story of how good they were throughout the season. And you kind of got to take a second look and look a little bit deeper. And another guy I wanted to shout out here, who's like not had a huge AFL, but has had a crazy regular season. The only thing he's done in the AFL is hit homers, actually, is Kalel Rosario. Yeah. This guy's numbers this year were like awesome. And I know Dylan wrote a little bit about him last week. And just in terms of how he popped on RoboScout, but I know that the slash line isn't good here. 160, 276, 420, but he's got four homers. There is power there. It's kind of an interesting profile, I think, especially if you're, you know, like tend to be more OBP slanted like I am, or point slanted, where I tend to like leagues now that do factor in walks and guys that have the ability to get on base. That, I don't know, I don't think he's like a top 100 prospect for fantasy or anything, but I think Rosario is becoming a guy that's more and more interesting to me as I'm going into this offseason. That I'm like, I could see myself going and getting some shares.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to just to take a chance to see where it goes. You know, the power is certainly there. Like, he's shown that, I think, in the regular season and also in the AFL too. Like, his numbers in Salt River Field are absurd. Like, just massive hard hit numbers. And so the fact that he's been able to do that, and half of his hits in the AFL are home runs, which is wild. So
it's
eight hits, four home runs, and a double. Like you said, the average is not much to show for. Like, I'm not putting too much stock into that. And ultimately, I do think, like, he's one that does play better in an OBP format. He is going to strike out a decent bit. But I ultimately think there's a little bit more here to unlock. Like, look at what the Twins have done with, like, the Matt Wallner types. Like, this mold that strikes out, but also is a big OBP asset. And this is what I think Rosario can honestly be. Like, I really believe that he can be that power guy that puts up respectable OBP numbers. And I think there's value in that, especially, like you mentioned, the points format, in the OBP format, where, yeah, he may play down a bit in the typical, like, 5x5 dynasty league, but that's okay because a lot of leagues have transitioned to go to more of the OBP or points format. And there, I think he can play. You know, the contact numbers this year were questionable at best.
Yeah, not good. So, they're 40 to 30 grade. Yeah.
So 30 grade contact probably, but he did manage 22 home runs in the regular season. If you get power and you get he had a 366 OBP. I know it's the minors, but despite having a 67% contact rate that trended down all year. So, like, even if you get a 340 OBP with power in the bigs, like, I'll take that all day.
Yeah. And I think it's funny too. Like, yeah, like the contact numbers were bad. 34% miss, 24% in zone miss, which is pretty bad. But it's a 19% chase rate. Like, he does not chase a lot. His barrel rate is really high. His angles are great. His hard hit launch angle was 12 degrees, which is a really hard, like, really high hard hit launch angle. His pull side launch angle is positive, which is always a great sign to see. And he had one of the better ex Wobicons of players in the minors. It was like 440. So there's a ton of power there on contact. There's good angles. He walks, and just the acquisition cost of Rosario right now in dynasty leagues is going to be short. I bet that there's a lot of leagues where, you know, maybe you keep 15 prospects in your roster and it's a 20 team league, and he might even be available to be picked among the FYPD guys, like in the throwback draft or whatever. Or it's like a guy that you can get as a throw in to kind of even off a trade. And maybe has a little bit of sneaky upside. I think those are the best trades. I got Austin Riley like that in the 30 team a bunch of years ago. Just sneaking him in to balance out a deal when I was rebuilding. And I traded him before he got good, but still, it was genius by me for a moment.
I always suggest people do that in a dynasty trade. Like, just try to squeeze in another pick. Like, just be like, I mean, like, seriously, most of the time, like, if somebody wants to get a deal done, they're going to throw in a pick or a throw in prospect, and you never know what that turns into. Like, those can turn into an Austin Riley. Your pick could turn into a Roman Anthony and a FYPD. Like, those are worth at least trying to get in every dynasty league deal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you can roster them, for sure. So that's good stuff, Chris. I'm going to let you go now. We've gone a half hour. I've taken up so much of your time. We got a game 7 coming up here.
I know. It's awesome.
It looks like we might have another game 7 tomorrow, potentially.
Yes. The playoffs have been phenomenal. Like, even though the Braves lost out early, as a Braves fan, that sucks. But you can't ask for much more. Like, if the D-backs somehow pull this out and we get like a D-backs Rangers World Series, like, that would be incredible, dude. Like, you just can't ask for much more, like, as a baseball fan. So that would be fun. Yes. Just, you know, I'd love to see that. No offense to Phillies or Astros fans, but just for the game itself, like, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think these are four really exciting teams we have left, and it's been a heck of a run. But Chris Clegg, it's at Roto Clegg on Twitter. It's the Dynasty Dugout. I'm going to tell everybody that's out there to go and subscribe to that. There's a ton of great content. fantasy focused. There's a great Discord community that goes as well that's really, really active. So if you're into fantasy and looking to get some more content in addition to your Baseball America subscription, you know, go out there and do it. But thanks for tuning in. This has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.